Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, our guest is Kirk Mango, a former Division I gymnast, a high school teacher, and a youth coach for 17 years. He also manages the Becoming a True Champion group for WePlay. Also joining us is my brother, mental game coach Dr. Patrick Cohn.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Kirk. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
Good. So we're going to talk today about the need for an inside-out mindset, correct?
Yes.
And can you tell me, so tell me first what the problem is. What's the outside-in mindset?
Well, at least from my perspective, I see a lot of reasons behind why kids are involved in sports having to do with the extrinsic type of factors. Now, I deal a lot with the high school kids, but I do see it at the younger level as well, where they're seeking scholarship, seeking things that are coming from them from the outside, rather than having the reasoning for their participation or their play or their efforts being built from the inside out. I guess that's a kind of a basic way to put it. I mean, I can elaborate more if you'd like.
Well, yeah, say more. So what are the outside motivators, the external?
Well, if you go to the younger ages, I remember, you know, I have two daughters that went through the whole current youth sports system from, you know, club through junior high sports, high school, and on into Division I sports. So I've not only had the experience from the coaching side, from the athletic side, but also as a parent. And I mean, there were things that would occur where parents would offer financial reward for scoring goals. It would be things that I would notice, seeking attention, for their or approval or attention for their participation, rather than looking at it from the idea of just enjoying the game at the younger ages. You know, that concept of playing for the love of the game or the competition or the challenge, you know, and it progresses as kids grow older. You see that progress from, you know, financial rewards that parents would offer or their approval to recognition as they get a little older, and then seeking that scholarship as an outside in means for motivation rather than the idea of that challenge or really enjoying the process of trying to reach one's potential. You know, answering the age-old question, you know, can I do this, and testing your limits. You know, those are things that I view that are on the inside, and they're lifelong.
Can I interrupt for a minute?
Sure.
I can ask Patrick if he's heard this. It really surprises me that parents actually offer financial rewards, and that's something that you saw. Was this at a high level of play?
I mean, no, I saw that. That was at the very young ages. Now, whether that continued in high school, I'm not sure. But my daughter came to me one day, and I was shocked, you know, as an educator, as an athlete that was never involved in that, even at the elite level from my beginning stages, that was never even, I wasn't even a thought. So when my daughter came to me and said, Dad, when are you going to give me money for goals that I score? I said, well, to be honest with you, the day I do that's the day that you stop playing because I'm not doing that.
Wow.
So that was kind of a shock to my system.
Patrick, is that something you hear about? Because you deal with certain types of parents on your end.
Yeah, I mean, we've had, Lisa, I probably sent you some of them, but we've had parents that contact us and say, is it okay to reward my child for number of hits in a baseball game or something like that? And, yeah, it's very common, but I think, you know, my question is, I want to go back, Kirk, and talk about, is this a reflection of society and what society preaches, do you think? And is this something that you see more today than, say, 20 years ago, where, you know, kids are very influenced by those external rewards?
Well, you hit on a big topic behind why I sat down to write the manuscript and book that I wrote that I'm seeking publication for, because it's through the experiences that I had as an athlete. And I had, somewhat of an epiphany in high school, late in high school. It kind of changed my life and gave me direction. And those pieces that I learned, and then seeing, you know, fast forward through my college career and my high school career and coaching career and then my kids and their careers, the answer to your question in short is yes, it's been a drastic change. I do not ever remember those short-term extrinsic rewards for playing or scoring when I was younger. I see a lot of kids. And the big thing today, again, in high school is, you know, seeking that scholarship, which is a very minute percentage of the population that's able to receive that or gain that reward. And to be honest with you, I'm not really against that as a goal. I'm more against that as the primary reward for participation. You know, that's kind of where I'm at. So, yes, I've seen a huge change in the last 30 years in teaching. I mean, I see it even in the classroom as an educator.
Do you think it's better, or do you think it's okay when kids are very young to use some small rewards to get them involved in sports initially, but then slowly wean them off as they start to take more control of their sport as they grow?
That's a great question. I would say that might be borderline personal preference. Me personally, I was not into that. I'm so set on the idea of intrinsic motivation for why people do what they do, and why I'm, you know, fairly concerned about what I see going on, you know, there in our sports culture from the professional level, which to me is a reflection of a lot of things going on at the younger ages. I kind of think there's a two-way street there, going back and forth between the two. So I would not choose to do that. They may be very small in nature, which might be going out for ice cream after the game, but I might do that win or lose, play or not play. Do you know what I mean? I try not to center the short-term extrinsic rewards to the winning, the playing, things of that nature. I'm more into the effort and those types of things.
Well, and I think, you get the true love of the game. I'm actually with you, Kirk, on this. I think that kids really need to do things because they love them, not because they're doing them for their parents or money or anything like
right. That.
Although it is true that if you can take a kid who's otherwise not interested and get them interested and then find that they love the game by giving them a little ice cream, now that's not a terrible thing. So it is an interesting question that he asked.
Yes, and that's why I was saying that when you're talking about very small things and then weaning them off, I might look at that more as a personal preference. What I had a problem with is the actual financial reward, you know, $10, $20
for
scoring a goal in a soccer game. And, you know, there's so much more to that than a goal. I mean, it's just the message. It's just, I don't know, it's just terrible to me.
Well, now, where does this come from, do you think? Because we talked about this is what we're seeing in society today, but do we know why we're seeing it?
Well, that's a tough question to answer. I think there's a lot of theories and perspectives out there. I mean, mine would come from the idea of winning at all costs, or, you know, being, you know, having some sense of notoriety or, you know, approval, recognition. I think, sadly, that not only kids at a young age, but parents as well take that as a very high value. And to me, the value is so much on the inside. I can relate to you. In writing my manuscript, I had some conversation with Mark Connor. Are you familiar with him at all? The Olympic gymnast from the 80s, gold medalist.
Yep.
He married Nadia Comaneci.
Oh.
Are you familiar with that name?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, well, him and I talked, and he was one of my endorsees, and one of the questions that I asked him and we talked about was looking back at both of our awards from our competitive days, and to us the value isn't in the award itself. It was in, going through the process. And I think that's what we've lost, is going through the process to reach those goals. That's where the value to me is at.
Right, rather than the award itself.
Yes.
Right.
So I do think society has lost track of that. It's kind of been reversed. You know, I'm playing to pay for my college education. And I think that can start at a younger age where they get extrinsic rewards on a consistent basis at a high level, meaning financially or what have you, recognition. I think it just kind of gets lost in the mix.
Well, now, I wanted to back up for a second. I wanted to know what your epiphany was that you mentioned earlier that you had, I think, in college, or it's something that led
to... Oh, in high school. Well, I was like any other high school kid, and when I do my inspirational speaking, it's one of the stories that I tell that, you know, the kids seem to be very tied into. I was, you know, like any other kid, enjoying high school and going through my sports experience. I enjoyed sports. I enjoyed the high school experience. I had a situation at the end of my junior year in as a gymnast where I was inspired by another athlete. Little did I know that that particular athlete was going on to a full ride scholarship. He was a senior graduating that year. He was vying for a state championship, and he was one of the best in the state on the particular event that I had a lot of passion for. Me, I was very weak, and I competed on the worst team in the conference, where he is scoring in the nines. I think at the end of my junior year, I was, say, maybe in the high fives. I was maybe, he's first in the conference, probably one of the best in the state. I'm 30th in the conference and probably won't even see a sectional competition. I'd never even been downstate to watch the meet, let alone compete there. So that set into motion the setting of a goal, what I would consider and my coaches consider and friends considered an impossible goal, because I only had 1 year of high school left. So it is what I learned in going through that process to the end of my senior year, that 1 year experience in working toward and achieving that goal, that taught me a lot about the intrinsic value and what sports really can give you if the right messages are sent. And it kind of led me into the career that I had as a national champion gymnast in college, and then into teaching and trying to get kids to understand that particular piece of it.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I'm glad you shared that story. Well, let's talk about some of the, and Patrick, jump in here. So the problems with the, the outside-in mindset, what are the problems that go with it?
Well, I think the value is placed in the wrong area. It's very fleeting. You know, I know you guys both talk a lot about confidence in the athlete and how important that is. Well, when you're valuing something that comes from the outside in, you don't have a lot of control over. It's a very fleeting thing, up, down. When you value things that are on the inside, for example, striving to reach one's potential or to master a skill or do well, those are things that are, regardless of whether you win or lose, they center on what you have control over and how well you do, and climbing that ladder toward being reaching some sense of achievement or level or plateau of accomplishment. Whatever that might be, that's very individual in nature. And to me, that's, you know, lifelong. So I think that's, I'm not sure, does that answer your question?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and it would be great to have you back.
To listen to the rest of this audio, visit kidssportspsychology.com.